Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And now we conclude our week of midterm election call-ins for callers of different generations. Today, if you're in your 90s or above, what issue is most likely to inspire you to vote in the midterm elections? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You know, we've been climbing the mountain all week. For those of you who haven't been hearing this series, starting with callers in your 20s or below on Monday, 30s and 40s on Tuesday, etc. And today we arrive at the peak, callers in your 90s or above. So nonagenarians and centenarians, what issue is most likely to inspire you to vote in the midterm elections? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Or tweet at Brian Lehrer. Do any of you in your 90s or 100s tweet? This group must have some wisdom, because if you live until 90 or 100 in the first place, you must be doing something right. You definitely have good genes, but you must be doing something right. So if you're in your 90s or above, with all that accumulated wisdom, what issue is most likely to inspire you to vote in the midterm elections? 212-433-9692. And in case you're wondering, listeners, we've had callers who have identified themselves as being in their 90s before, for sure, but we've never had a caller who identified themselves as being 100 years old or more that I can recall. So who knows if we will get any now, but if you are 100 years old, this may be history's first radio call-in explicitly for you and for your little brothers and little sisters who are only in their 90s. 212-433-9692. So I looked up some stuff, and if you're 100 years old, you were born in 1922, and so were we. The New York City government approved the creation of WNYC AM on June 2nd, 1922. It went on the air 2 years later. Across the pond, the BBC was also formed in 1922. So as we talk about the impact of the internet on democracy and self-esteem these days, when some of you were born, there wasn't even radio yet in most people's homes. Another media note, according to the peoplehistory.com, 1922 was also the year that the magazine Reader's Digest was born. It was the year of the first Wimbledon tennis tournament. And never mind Reader's Digest, 1922 was the year the Soviet Union was formed, with only one legal political party, the Communist Party. Opposition to that came to define the politics of a lot of your life, callers, right? I wonder how that shaped your idea of democracy and freedom, as well as other politics. Now we may be headed to a place where some states only allow one party to be declared the winner of elections here, right? In 1922, Mussolini's fascist party came to power in Italy. Gandhi was arrested for sedition in India for leading his movement of nonviolent civil disobedience against British colonial rule, according to the peoplehistory.com. The Lincoln Memorial opened in Washington, D.C. And in 1922, insulin was first used successfully, it was in Canada, to treat people with diabetes. Maybe today some of you import your insulin from Canada, because the Republicans in the Senate this summer refused to cap the price in the United States. A bill to do that for people under 65 was defeated, although it did pass for people on Medicare. So if you're in your 90s or 100s, you've seen a few things: the Great Depression, World War II, McCarthyism, the Civil Rights Movement, the 60s, everything else. What has it all led to as your number one voting issue for the midterm elections of 2022? 212-433-WNYC, or if you tweet, at Brian Lehrer. We'll take your calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your calls if you're in your 90s or 100s. On your number one issue in the midterm elections of 2022. And Elizabeth in Greenbrook, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling in. Hi, Elizabeth.
my first time getting through to you, but I listen to you regularly.
I'm so glad.
Okay, do you want...
Well, we can start with your issue, and I see you're calling with some of your political history, which we'll get to. Yeah. Do you want to start with your number one issue for right now?
My number one issue is preserving our democracy. Just the thought of having votes that are legitimate votes that are not counted taken away from us, our voting means nothing. And then we have no democracy, and that's my number one issue.
Do you think, Elizabeth, that this is the most intense threat to democracy in this country that you've seen in your lifetime, or has anything rivaled it?
I guess it always seems like the present thing is the present problem is the worst in terms of that, but. I mean, there are all kinds of things, the war and other things, World War II, of course, I'm talking about. And I have more fear today, I will say, of going into a shopping mall or a theater or something than I had during World War II. And I remember I was in high school during World War II, and we wore these name tags. I think they were made of asbestos in case we were bombed. We could be identified, but we regarded them kind of like fire drills, kind of just a chance to get out of the building and get a little.
You're more afraid now of active shooters, is what you're saying, right?
I am. Yeah, I think maybe part of it was that when you're young, you're invincible, and you're going to live forever.
Right, you feel like you're invincible. Yeah. And you told our screener something about who you voted for in 1948. Why did you bring up that year?
Well, that was when Thomas Dewey of New York was running against Truman.
Oh, Dewey won, didn't he?
No. Truman won.
I'm kidding.
But all the newspapers were predicting that Dewey would win. And there was, in fact, a front page on some newspaper, big, big headlines that Dewey had won. And I voted for Henry Wallace. I was a spoiler. I would have been a spoiler because I thought that Truman had no chance. It turned out, of course, I was happy that Truman won. And I'm sorry that I had voted for Henry Wallace, but it didn't matter because Truman won anyway. And I do think now, in hindsight, that Truman was a very good president.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for starting us out. I will say that all of our callers on hold right now are in your 90s. If there's anybody who's 100 years old or more who wants to weigh in on your top election issue this year, we've got one open line right now. It's what we call line 8, and we're going to save it. So, all right, screeners, you got that? Bump anybody else who calls in, unless they're 100 years old or more, for line 8, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If that person is you. Nancy in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. First, I agree with what the caller just said. Democracy is in peril. But I am interested in reforming the Supreme Court. I think it's responsible for most of the ills that we have now, starting with the appointment of Bush. Al Gore would never have gone into Iraq, and he would have concentrated on the environment because it was one of his major interests. And then, of course, there was Citizens United that brought about dark money. Their gun decision is responsible for mass murder, and now abortion, which is responsible for many, many problems that women will have, some of whom will die. And I think they serve as an arm of the religious right and the Republican Party at its most extreme.
If the Supreme Court does, you're saying, right?
Yeah, the Supreme Court does. And if I had my way, it would be abolished.
But well, the Supreme Court in your lifetime has been a progressive force sometimes, right? They established the right to non-segregated public schools. They established the right to abortion in the first place. So how do you view it in historical terms?
In historical terms, I think that it once functioned to help the country and understand the country and move things forward. It just doesn't do that now.
Nancy, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. Let's go to Marilyn on Long Island. Marilyn, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, I just love your show.
Thank you. So what's your top issue this election year?
My top issue is keeping Congress with a Democratic majority.
So a pure partisan play to prevent the Republicans
Absolutely.
From doing things that you think would be egregious and horrible, right?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm a graduate of City College in the 50s, mm-hmm. and everybody was worried, you know, Joe McCarthy and the hearings, and I just learned the value of the party. I never believed you vote for a person, you vote for a party and their agenda. And
Maryland.
I knew Chuck Schumer from his days in Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah? Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, I worked for the Brooklyn Public Library for 22 years, and I did senior lectures. I was a kid doing book talks, and he was very active in the Brooklyn social places.
Marilyn, thank you so much for your call. And, you know, if you went to college in the 50s, then you're a baby in the context of this call-in.
Well, I'm 90. I was just 90 at the end of March.
I was
born and raised in Brooklyn, and always, and the first time I voted for Adlai Stevenson.
Marilyn, thank you very much. Mary in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for your show. I'm a daily listener. I'm going to be 95 in September. I'm a retired university prof. I think I'm aligned with my 6 young adult grandchildren in terms of the environment. But personally, I am really worried about free and fair elections. I just think that'll be the end of us unless we can override the insane rules of Texas and other places. I don't see how we can survive as a country if we cannot have free and fair elections. And to put this Republican administration in for another session of the Senate would be disastrous to us, or the House. I think we have to be able to vote. We have to be able to vote for the people we want. And it scares me, really, the fact that all these laws are coming up. I don't know how we're going to circumvent them or abolish them. I'm a great fan of Stacey Abrams, and I wish we had more of her.
I'm curious, since you said you're interested in climate for the sake of your 6 young adult grandchildren, as well as preserving democracy, seeing everything you've seen at age 95, war and peace, cycles of boom and bust, expansion, but now some contraction in human rights. How optimistic or pessimistic would you say you are about the future of our country or world?
Well, the Republic has survived some terrible things, including a disastrous civil war. And I guess I'm hoping against hope that we will survive this, that there'll be enough people to set it right. And I'd like to see more young people involved because I think they are on the right path. I have a lot of confidence in youth. As a professor, I saw generations of young people mature, and I look at my own grandkids, and I think I'm praying and hoping that they will be active. They're much more active than earlier generations, I think. And I'm hoping that they see the writing on the wall and will not only vote, but vote for the kinds of things we need as a nation to survive.
Mary, thank you so much for your call. As we're taking calls in this segment from people in your 90s or above on what your number one midterm election issue is in 2022. And here we go. Here's Barbara in Walnut Creek, California, who I think just turned 100. Barbara, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Pardon me?
You're on WNYC. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do have a little hearing problem, so okay.
That's okay. The phone is good for that, right?
Hopefully.
How old are you?
Well, I was 100 on the 17th of August.
The 17th of August, that was just 2 days ago.
Correct.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
What did you do to celebrate?
We had two parties, and they're giving me a block party tomorrow.
A block party? The whole block is going to come out and celebrate you.
Yes.
Do you remember who the first person you voted for president was?
I think Roosevelt.
He won. So what's your number one issue for 2022? Do you have one?
The first thing I want to do is stop Trump.
You're lining up with all these younger callers through the week, at least in our area.
And I'm very interested in church and state, separation of church and state. I think it's being abused.
Can I ask you a media question? I mentioned that most people didn't even have radios in their homes yet in 1922, the year you were born. What's the first way you remember getting your news in your lifetime?
The newspaper. We got a newspaper every day.
Do you remember which one in your case?
It was in New York on Long Island. And no, I don't remember
What do you think is the first thing that you can remember that got you interested in politics?
War.
World War II?
During the Second World War, I joined the USO. And we entertained in Europe during the war. We entertained as close to the front as we could get. And so I was there and saw the results of war, the damage and everything.
It made you skeptical of war, even though you felt our cause was just in World War II?
Yes. War, if we don't watch out, war will do us in, all of us.
Barbara, thank you so much for calling. And hey, happy birthday.
All right. Are those all the questions you need?
Yes, that was all the questions I have time for. I'm sure we could have a long conversation, but I can't make it to your block party in California.
Well, church and state is such a big issue.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very, very much. Saul in Glen Cove, you're on WNYC. Hi, Saul.
Saul.
You.
I'm 94 and a half. I'll be 95 before the end of the year, and I'm very active.
Let me just say that this is what people when they're three and when they're four do, right? They say the half. I'm three. I'm not just three. I'm three and a half. So you're 94 and a half.
I'll be 95 in December. Okay?
Yes, yes, sir.
That's to put it straight. Now, the issues, I agree fully with democracy. When you know, it's unbelievable that our democracy is being threatened by people who are voting for the wrong people, and they think that they're doing the right thing. You know, they don't tell them how to vote. Don't tell us who's good. And they actually, I can't believe it. You know, it's vomitageous. It's sickening. That's a big issue. I have a son also that I've been taking care of. A long distance. He lives in the same town, but he has mental illness, and so he's in a group home, and I'm happy about that. Now, listen, I want to talk about also community gardens. Community gardens. I live in an atria, and they have a lot of plants and flowers and so forth, but they don't have a community garden, and the food is barely passable. Barely passable. It's you know, they feed you, but
you're talking about your independent living or assisted living facility, right?
Yes, definitely.
Now we're getting to brass tacks, but that's not going to affect who you vote for Congress, right?
No, I always vote liberal, you know, liberal Democratic, and you know, I'm happy with that. Also, I want to just say, nobody mentioned the black people and what they went through. I'm so I go and I do a lot of reading at the library, and I don't see well, but I read. I belong to a low vision group. You know, also, I don't hear well, but I managed to hear. I consider myself intelligent. I was a printer all most of my life through my own doing, and I made out very well. And
do you have a number one political hero or most admired political public figure of your lifetime?
That who I thought was, well, Roosevelt. I was a young when Roosevelt came around, and I think he's a great president. We don't even celebrate his birthday, but he was one of the greatest presidents. You know.
So thank you so much, and I hope the food becomes more to your liking there. Thank you very much for your call and all your thoughts. Thank you. Maria in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Good morning, long-time listener, great fan. I'm an immigrant from Nazi Germany. I was only seven at the time. But what disturbs me, and wiser people than I have written articles and books about this, is the parallels now that I see between the rise of Nazism and the rise of Trumpism, right down to the fact that, you know, Hitler's mustache was as much cartooned as Trump's silly hairdo. But I think that the so-called Christian right, which is nothing whatever to do with Christianity, is perhaps like the Gestapo there in their general outlook. I think instead of the Jews, it's now people of color and immigrants that are the focus of hate. It's the parallels are endless. And also, Hitler was by many, my parents were always very liberal people. My father was Jewish, which is why we had to leave. But they always, you know, we voted Democratic all our lives.
Maria,
and I'm sorry if I'm a little inarticulate
no,
today.
No, you did great. And now we're out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye, but thank you. And I guess we end this call-in for people in their 90s and 100s with that dire warning that to 91-year-old Maria in Jersey City, this looks like a time that she remembers when Adolf Hitler was on the rise in her country of origin. Thank you all for calling in today and all through the week on this generational series. It will inform what we do on our fall election series, 30 Issues in 30 Days, which begins next month. And we'll do a different series of call-ins in this time slot next week, different questions for teachers getting ready to go back to school.